As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell! Man, how you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. I just made some smash burgers on the grill. Juicy burger for a juicy episode, my friend.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. Well, I mean, if I'm being honest, man, I'm blue, I'm a D, I'm a die, I'm a D, I'm a die, I'm a D, I'm a die.
Would you say you're cobalt blue?
Yeah, no, I think, I don't know. Actually, all right, so we got a lot. All right, yeah, we got a lot to talk about here. Obviously, there's the one scene that everybody wants to talk about. We will talk about that. I have to eat some crow. I've been in the whiteboard labs, and I figured it out. It took me, I'm not going to lie, it took me a while, and it took me some bourbon, but I got there. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But before we dive into it, want to let you know, if you haven't already, head over to thetvtalk.fm, write us an iTunes review, follow us on the Twitters, all that kind of good stuff. It's a great way to help out the show. Patreon.com/TVTalk as well to support it. Great stuff coming your way, not just The Flash. But that being said, Belle, are you ready for this?
Let's jump into the rundown.
All right. Episode 10 of season 9. A Whole New World, part 1. Directed by Eric Wallace and story by Eric Wallace and Thomas Pond. Belle, what happened this episode?
Well, Chester gives Allegra her first suit, although she doesn't like it. Keone has been exploring her abilities and writing letters to Mark. As Iris receives a Pulitzer nomination, Barry gets transported to the day Nora Allen dies. He goes to Joe for help and later sees his parents, but is knocked unconscious by Eobard Thawne. While investigating, Joe finds a blue crystal and becomes possessed. After being hospitalized and having lunch with his parents, he is approached by Thawne, who gloats about Barry being unable to stop his plan to kill Barry's younger self. Barry returns to the hospital and says goodbye to his parents. The possessed Joe then attacks him, stating that he is not the new negative Speed Force avatar, but still wants to correct the imbalance Barry's legacy leaves on the timeline. Barry frees Joe and returns him to his car, but the crystal disappears. Barry fails to make a last effort to talk Thawne out of his plan as the night of Nora's death commences. After their fight, Barry tells Thawne that he has made peace with Nora's death before he is transported away again. Elsewhere, a man resembling Eddie Thawne leaves Joe's house for work at Mercury Labs when he is struck by lightning, finds a file about Eddie's death, and wonders who he is.
Dun dun dun! Okay, so I got to eat. I was wrong. All right.
Yes, you were. Yes.
Last week, I was saying they can't do the full circle thing because it doesn't make sense. I said I've done the research, and I want to be clear about this. I have done the research, okay? I guarantee you, I have whiteboards and sticky notes and all of the things. But then, Belle, they done did the thing. They done done it, okay? We saw it happen, and I'm sitting here with my jaw open, and I mean, it's freaking fantastic. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm loving the vibes and everything else and the throwback to season one and yada, yada, yada. But I'm still sitting here thinking, like, but they can't because they undid this. I saw them undo this. And so I went back into the lab. I went back, rewatched season one, rewatched season three, rewatched, like, specifically going back to the scenes in which we have returned to this moment a number of times in this series. Here's where it is. Okay. I actually pull back the curtain right before we went live. I texted Bellis, like, I took a picture of my whiteboard. And suffice to say, I've redrawn that timeline several times.
Let me just, okay, everyone's seen the meme of Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia standing in front of his, like, you know, crazy conspiracy board. That's what we're talking about here. That's where Bo is at right now.
I think I've got the timeline about right. And you know what? Maybe we owe this to people when it's all said and done, because admittedly there's some critical factors that are not, this is not a completed timeline. For example, we don't have the wrinkle in time that was re-trajectorizing Pied Piper's story, right? He was a villain and then he wasn't a villain, but now he's a villain again post-crisis. And so, like, that's a whole thing. All right.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Here's what was messing me up. In Flashpoint, Barry goes back, stops the events of the night, right? Or no, I'm sorry. No, hang on. Nope, that's not right. This is what's messing me up. In Flashpoint, Barry goes back, and after his future self leaves, he stops Thawne from killing his mom. Okay? And that's fine. That's what kicks off Flashpoint. But here's the problem. He then looks at his season one self, end of season one self, and the season one self sees his, you know, future Flashpoint self, or not even future, this future self, stopping the thing that he was there to stop in the first place. And he's like, oh, sweet. This, I guess future me already took care of this. And then he evaporates because, you know, stuff, his timeline no longer exists. Then that's what messed me up, actually. That's it. That's the thing that messed me up. So I'm sitting back here and I'm like, okay, how does this make sense? This is where I messed up, Belle. I failed to realize that the season one Barry that we saw in the past is technically, at that moment in time, now associated with the Flashpoint timeline, which means that he doesn't actually exist the moment the Flashpoint is eradicated.
Okay.
Which means that we're back to the original season one pre-crisis Barry, which is, of course, who we end up seeing in this episode. So that's what messed me up. Now, if that didn't make sense to you, I don't know why. I feel like I explained it flawlessly.
Yeah. We'll just say it makes sense. Sure. Why not?
Well, all right. In all fairness, there's a whole thing. Like, Barry leaves, future Barry leaves, right?
And then season three Barry comes in and stops him, right?
Wait, hang on. Give me just a second.
Yeah. Go consult your crazy person.
Okay, all right.
Board.
Season. I've got it up right now. Okay, this is what I'm saying. I've been doing the research, Bell. I've got all of the clips. I've got all of the clips of Barry going back in time. Okay, what is this? This is the end of season two, I want to say. Which episode was this? All right, season two. Yeah, the end of season two. Barry's about to kiss Iris. They have a nice kiss on the porch. He kisses her. He's like, oh, I love you, and everything is perfect, and I'm so sorry I'm about to do this. And I remember at the time we were like, why, Barry? Why do this now?
Why now?
He runs back in time. He thinks about his parents' death. He gets there. He arrives in front of the house. Everything's going down inside the house. Season, what we now know as season nine Barry is there, grabs his younger self, pulls him out of there. So now season nine Barry is gone, having saved himself. Eobard is left behind in the house about to kill his mom. Boom. Eobard then kills his mom. Or no, Eobard goes to kill his mom. Okay? But then season three Barry, technically the end of season two Barry, stops him, which creates Flashpoint. Here's what this is the thing that messes up. All right, this is where it's not perfect. And I mean, I get it. It's not gonna be perfect. We're talking about so many different writers. He stops Eobard and he's like, you know, you're never gonna do it. And Eobard's all like, what? Oh, but I was totally about to do this thing. And then, you know, he punches him out, creating Flashpoint. He then looks over his shoulder. And then who does he see opening the door but his season one self? Now, this is the thing. Season one him opens the door much earlier in the events of the evening. So, I mean, we can retcon this, that Flashpoint threw off the timelines and threw off season one's Barry arrival in this new Flashpoint timeline.
Yes.
And maybe that had ripple effects. Maybe that's how we can headcanon it. But regardless, it still messes things up.
Yeah, it does. It does. But you're not supposed to remember.
And then that's the thing. And then that version of him, the season one version of him, looks down, sees what's just happened, looks up at his future self, realizing that he's already done it or that he will do it in the future. And then instantly he dissolves because he no longer exists. And this was what has been throwing me off. It's this one moment that is completely out of sync with the rest of the timeline in the way that we've seen it. It don't get me wrong. It makes beautiful sense from like a narrative standpoint. Because it's him getting to see himself doing the thing he always dreamed of doing and then dying, essentially ending, like he literally is eradicated from the timeline at that point. But it's like the conclusion of that particular Barry or theoretical Barry or potential Barry or alternate Barry, whatever you want to say. And so it's a beautiful moment, but it does kind of mess with the rules. Now, given the fact that we give like the end of Endgame so much grace and like we can kind of headcanon our way to explain how it all makes sense based on what they explained to us, I can kind of give it to them here with this Flashpoint. But that bell, that's the moment that was messing me up. So all that to say that moment in Flashpoint no longer exists because obviously Flashpoint no longer exists, which means, and I can now say this, having done a lot more research, further time in the time lab. And in fact, this works beautifully. It works flawlessly. They nailed it. You gotta give it to him. You know what I mean? You gotta give it to him because this week's episode right here, you know, it fits. It's pretty dang good, Bell. It's pretty dang good.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed it. I thought it was a whole lot of fun, and I like the, you know, the poetic justice of him going back to, you know, the whole scene from, you know, the first season and everything, and closing that sort of window, and Barry finally accepting his parents' death and to like thank Eobard for it, and just like in such like a roundabout way torment Eobard with that fact. was just beautiful. I loved it. It was wonderful.
When you think about it, so much of what the latter years of the Flash has been, I mean the early years as well, but like the latter years as a whole, we see it from the angle of every single character. It's about confronting trauma and confronting kind of that moment of whatever your kind of, you know, core trauma or whatever these characters' core trauma is. Obviously, this is it for Barry. It has been since the beginning of the series.
Yeah.
And so to have him actually go back to this moment to find peace, even as he is enacting it, even as he is doing the dance that he has seen that has haunted him practically his entire life, is beautiful. And not only that, he got this moment with his parents, which is really, really special. Now, it's a little heavy-handed. You know, they're acting as if they know they're about to die and as if they know it's their son. It's clearly not their son. But at the same time, you know, there's that. And of course, there's other questions as well. Like, oh, you know, how does crisis impact the past? We'll talk about that in a second. Because if like, isn't it weird that there's like a Jay and his wife chilling out and they look exactly like Henry and Nora? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like. Yeah. Little odd, but we can explain that. I can actually explain that in a second. But regardless, I thought it was beautiful, man. I even liked him sharing a beer with Eobard before the horrible things that are about to happen.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that was really interesting.
The only critique I have of it in terms of this, the way in which it all played out, is Eobard. Like, so Eobard, obviously one of my favorite characters. I think that when he is done right, he is a phenomenal villain. Always playing like three-dimensional chess, 20 steps ahead until you find out that Barry is 21 steps ahead. And it's not even Barry who's 21 steps ahead. It's a future Barry. Like, it's always, he's always so ahead of present Barry. And the thing that keeps on driving him insane is that future Barry is just one step ahead of him. And that narrative makes him such a compelling villain for our present hero. Now, in this episode, we finally got the future, that Barry that's one step ahead of him, like, in the picture, which is great. The problem is that I feel like they made Eobard a little stupider in this episode than I would have liked him. And I mean, this has always been a problem for Eoblond, but like, he's sitting there and he's like, oh, I already won. And like, well, no, actually, future Barry's presence here actually negates the concept that you already won, because you're still going with the intention to kill a young Barry. If you succeeded, there wouldn't be a future Barry here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That was my one kind of like, you know, huh, sort of thing. Where like,
that was that is like Tyrion Lannister level character dumbing down for a final season. Like, it made me so upset, because like everything else I feel like was done so really well. It fits far tighter than even I could realize. But you're literally sitting there looking at Eobard being the dumbest person in the entire world and not even realizing he's being an idiot. And it's just that drove me crazy.
Yeah, it would have been, I think, a little bit more interesting to have him, you know, realize that initial plan fails, but there's something else that he does that he wins. And maybe, like, maybe, you know, him coming to the conclusion, well, if I can't kill you, I'll kill your mother. And then having Barry say, you know, well, you win, like, congratulations, because that happens and there's nothing I can do about it. And like, so, you know, you can have him be like, you know, have Eobard just be furious and like, you know, super angry that like his initial plan failed, but he's like, I still have this one up. I still have this opportunity to beat you and there's nothing you can do about it. And it
even if it's like, why even have that? Like, why even have it where Eobard realizes like, oh, you know that you're here because I must blah 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 blah. Maybe he's just assuming you're here because you think that you're going to stop me. You know what I mean? Or something like that. Or I don't know how you know, I don't know. Something to the effect of like, you know, tonight we decide if you get to live. You know what I mean? Like, assuming that Barry is from the original timeline that he's from, even though this Barry actually isn't from that original timeline, he's from the timeline he creates tonight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, and then having kind of that contingency plan, like let's say you win. Let's say on the off chance you actually win, you think everybody in that room is getting out alive? You know what I mean? Like, he could taunt him like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In
yeah.
ways where you can still have, you know, quote unquote fun with it without Eobard being like, oh, I've already won because you're here. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. And that's not how Eobard would think. So I thought he was written very poorly, and it's upsetting, given the fact that this is his quote unquote, you know, both triumphant moment as well as his great failure, you know?
Yeah. Like, he should have, you know, instead of being so like smug when he saw him, he should have been furious. Be like, how are you here? You can't be here. This is my moment. This is my victory. You shouldn't be here because, you know, if you're here, then I failed and I'm not going to fail. And, you know, something like that, you know, it doesn't make sense for him to like, not realize that, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, like, okay, so you think about, and again, okay, you can, I mean, it's not because it's writing, it's not the actor, but I mean, I always feel like H.G. Eobard always had better writing around him and around his character. Like, you think about when Barry had to go back to talk to H.G. Eobard because they were trying to fix a problem as it related to Nora, and I want to say season 5.
Yeah.
And I think that was episode 100. And H.G. Eobard's like he's just putting the whole thing together. The whole thing together.
He's like, oh.
And he's like, no, I was like, oh, you no longer have 2 kids. I changed the timeline. Oh, well, at least you have 1. And you named her after your mom. You know, like, all this stuff. Yeah. Like, that's the next, like, that's next level supervillain, super genius that you're dealing with Eobard. And this version of Eobard is just base, mid, low. I mean, like, terrible. And so, like, that was disappointing. Somebody asked a question, I believe, on Reddit, and they were talking about, why didn't Eobard ever team up with himself? And I was like, well, the answer is obvious. He couldn't be trusted. You know, like Eobard would know well enough, like, not to trust himself. That's why Eobard could never team up with himself. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But this doofus right here, I don't know. I just, that really made me mad.
Yeah.
Maybe not made me mad, but it disappointed me. I think that's probably.
Yeah. I mean, like, honestly, like, it was, I looked at the scene and I was like, I thought about it for a second and then I was like, eh, okay, whatever. Because I don't know, I was enjoying the episode. It didn't take me out of the episode as much. I just thought about it for a second and I was kind of like, eh, you know, maybe there'll be some sort of satisfying way they resolve that. And they did it. And by the end of the episode, I didn't really care. I'll just say that.
Well, I think my main thing is I've seen a lot of commentary like, okay, the Flash is coming back. They're better. They're fixed. Everything's great. And I'm kind of like, okay, calm down. Like, don't get me wrong. They stuck this landing in terms of like bringing it full circle big time. And I huge hats off. Absolutely. But that massive gaffe with Eobard's character still lets me know. Yeah, but I don't know, guys. We're not dealing with season one level quality here at the tail end. Like we might get the best that we've gotten in years, but it's a low bar. So we'll see where things end up going. The other factor too that has me a little concerned, honestly, about the next couple episodes, is that we're dealing with the forces again.
Are we?
Yeah, because it's the negative speed force. It's the personification of the negative speed force that's looking for an avatar, and because it doesn't have an avatar, it's crystallizing in this blue crystal to take over Joe.
Why, like blue lightning? Like what? Why is it? Why is the negative speed force blue lightning all of a sudden?
Because colors mean nothing. Because they need it to be cobalt blue. That's why, Bell. Because they don't listen to this podcast. They stopped listening to us years ago. We explained all of this to y'all.
But I don't know. I'm still not convinced that we're going to be dealing with the forces per se. If anything, it's just going to be the negative speed force. But like,
Bell. Oh, my sweet summer child. Are you serious?
Do you really think we're going to see like
maybe not
Furiosa?
The stage force, but no, I think we're going to see Nora. I think we're going to see Speed Force Nora. Yeah, I think she's absolutely showing up. And I'll tell you what, here's the deal. Before I jump into this, Bell, the reality is this week's episode, there's so much speculation that's all in the mix. We're not going to hold ourselves to a traditional style. So I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. We get back, speedster speculation, but then also talking about the rest of the episode.
Hi, this is John Wesley Shipp, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk. Red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow, red and
yellow. Hold on. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Speedster speculation.
All right, so here's the thing. I'm thinking what we're seeing here, Bell, is that the negative speed force is looking for its new avatar, right? And the idea is that this Eddie, who's not Eddie, but is definitely Eddie, is going to be who they're going to kind of, it's going to be like the new negative speed force avatar, which is going to essentially make him cobalt blue.
And you know this is in the future, right?
What?
That Eddie who's not Eddie is in the future. 100%.
I thought he was on a different Earth, but Cook, man, tell me. I'm all ears.
I'm almost positive he's in the future. I mean, maybe a descendant. I don't know. I mean, maybe he's an alternate Earth.
Descendant of who, Bell? I don't know if you know this, but Eddie got that vasectomy. Oh, no, he didn't get a vasectomy. Eddie shops.
Yeah, but he was...
Ain't no Eddie to be a descendant thereof.
He was sucked into the vortex,
okay,
realived, and put into the future.
Ooh, okay, now I did not think about the vortex aspect of things.
Yeah.
What if the vortex sucked him into the negative speed force and he is actively living out some kind of fantasy and kind of this like stasis in the negative speed force until such time as the negative speed force has needed to put forth a new avatar?
Or...
Which, by the way, I hate the fact that we're talking about the negative speed force as an entity that is playing into this, because I really don't like this as a storyline.
Yeah, but you know...
No, it is what it is. It is what it is. So if that's the case, maybe what we're seeing is this Eddie, who doesn't remember who he is, in the negative speed force, existing outside of time and space. So Eddie's, you know, sacrifice was worth it. He did the thing which eradicated, or theoretically eradicated, Eobard, which obviously didn't. But like it still has meaning. It did the thing. But now he's being kept outside of time and space, and the negative speed force is about to throw its final champion. You know, it used kind of the whole super Eobard version thing, and so now it's going to use this like Eddie backup plan.
I mean, because I think if he's from another Earth, I don't. I mean, granted, they did just reintroduce the multiverse again.
They did. Like, they did. In fact, what was that last week? They talked about it.
Right. Right. You know, it's reintroduced. It's back. But because at that point, it's not Eddie. It's a guy with Eddie's face from another world that we have no connection to whatsoever outside of the 5 minutes he was on screen at Mercury Labs. You know, like that's all that it was, and it just feels kind of cheap that way. Like I if they're gonna do something with Eddie, make it be our Eddie somehow, and that's why I'm hoping that it's our Eddie somehow, right? Like that there's some kind of like he was pulled into the portal, which was enough to stop Eobard in season one, because it threw him out of time, and so
right.
As opposed to him becoming Eobard's, you know, ancestor, he's now Eobard is his ancestor, maybe something like that. I don't know. And just maybe that connection to Eobard and the fact that Eobard's been destroyed, this is, you know, a close enough of a connection to Eobard that the negative speed force can attain. And like, you know, hey, this is Flash's greatest villain. You know, this Eddie person was an ancestor of his and now is in limbo or whatever in the speed force in this alternate timeline or something like that. But I want it to be our Eddie from our Earth as explained through like him getting sucked up into the portal and something happening. Because if it's just another, that's just like Red Death. Like Red Death was another universe and it wasn't our Batwoman. And it just feels cheaper if it's just, oh yeah, that was another Earth. And then like, well, what about that other Earth has all these other problems and stuff now. And we're never going to see anything of it because the show's over.
Right. I mean, it's possible. I mean, like, you know, it's possible they could go both ways. I like what you're suggesting. I hadn't thought about that until you mentioned it. I mean, I do like the idea of it, that it is our Eddie. He's been taken out of time and now he's coming back because negative speed force reasons. But at the same time, I'm not opposed to the concept of him being an Eddie of a different Earth, because I think, and I could be very wrong, but I think with the alternate I think we're potentially going to see a lot of alternate versions of villains from across this season. And granted, they could just be pulled from various points in the timeline. Very possible. But given the fact they just stuck that landing, they might want to play it safe and just pull them from other Earths. And so we have this multiversal, you know, kind of rogues gallery, kind of the rogues of the multiverse, if you will. But they're all the big season, big bad, especially speedsters who have come to our Earth at the behest of, you know, the negative speed force to eradicate Barry. He's done the thing. You know what I mean? Like, he's come full circle. There's no stopping him. Ain't no stopping him now. Like, he's here.
But like,
and so it, like, you can't John Connor him. You know what I mean? Like, there's no Sarah. Like, now you got to face him full on. So you hit him with everything you got.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just then we better see other Flashes from other Earths. If we're gonna go multiversal with his villains, then we need to go multiversal with the Flash, and we need to have
Jesse was referenced earlier, and you'll notice we never actually got a like full circle with the Jesse reference.
Yeah, you know, we need Jesse, we need the Accelerator Man. What was his name?
Heck yeah, absolutely, Accelerator Man.
Yeah, yeah, like, you know,
I love this idea, Bell. This is great.
Like, if you want to do that, then do it right, and you know, if we're gonna have, you know, the forces again, and you know, Barry is the flashiest Flash, or the Barriest Barry, or however you want to do it, and you know, the Speed Force is the same across all these universes, but its most powerful avatar is Barry from our Earth. And the Negative Speed Force is like, well, I need to find, you know, an avatar. I would think the Eobardiest Eobard, but he's gone. And so, you know, next best thing is his ancestor, this Eddie guy or something like that. But yeah, like, if we're going to go multiversal, then let's go multiversal. Let's get a bunch of other Flashes in there too. And let's do that. You know, otherwise, let's keep the story more grounded and more along, you know, timelines than multiverses. But we'll see. I mean, because that's the thing is, like, you know, these entities are multiversal. But, you know, if they're going to go that route, then I'd like the idea of them going whole ham with it. You know, full hog, road hog, Overwatch 2.
Yeah.
Whole hog. There we go.
There you go.
And, you know, make it something like, yeah, we're going to have all the Flashes battle all of these, you know, who knows, maybe they're rogues that are powered up with the Negative Speed Force kind of thing. We're going to have our Cobalt Blue as our primary conduit. And then I took all these rogues from all these different places, and I am as the Negative Speed Force, gifting them my power to destroy this, the ultimate avatar of the Speed Force. And, you know, throw down like that.
I can see it. I like it. Here's the thing. I want to circle back to something I mentioned earlier. The way in which the timelines work for the DC TVU, the Arrowverse, what have you. I was sitting there, I was watching, you know, and just seeing Harry and Nora chilling out, walking down the street, and you're like, wait a minute, isn't that Jay and what's her face now? Like, you know, post crisis. And here's the thing. I think the way that we are being, you know, I think that honestly, this episode, to some extent, kind of confirms a theory that a lot of people have had about the way in which Crisis reworked the universe and what its actual impact on the timelines was. You have to think about every single Earth has its own timeline, right? All right, think about like a bush. Now, a bush, it's not a tree with like this big main trunk. It's like almost like a bunch of like branches all blooming from a specific point. You following me?
Yes.
But underneath that specific point is an extensive root system.
So it's like a tree with radial symmetry, and it's got a central trunk and a root system.
Sure.
Yeah.
So here's the situation. The root system are the timelines pre-crisis. Crisis is that middle point, and then the branches are post-crisis. So what I mean by this is that the past, the previous timelines of all of these Earths still exist on the other side of that system. Now on the branches, like, yeah, we've got all of these different, you know, things. So like post-crisis, you know, Jay and what's her face? This is their timeline. This is where they live. And this is, you know, and it's just normal. Kind of like how Spider-Man was that guy that nobody knows what his name is. You know what I mean?
Yes.
post No Way Home, how like everybody who knew who Spider-Man was, but now nobody knows who Spider-Man is. I can't remember.
Yeah.
So their personal timelines are from the pre-crisis, but now their current present timeline are post-crisis. It's the same thing with all of these different individuals. Like, their personal timelines are the roots, regardless of where they are on these branches. And the branches are the new Earths post-crisis.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, this is my... I don't know that helps anybody. This is a very timey-wimey episode, but honestly, that's some classic Flash TV talk.
So. I mean, yeah, it was. It was classic Flash, which I think why I like this episode so much. It was very, very classic Flash.
So it works, kind of. I mean, you gotta headcanon it a little bit, but for the most part, I think it works really well.
Yeah, and you gotta deal with the forces, but you know, that is what it is.
Yes. In terms of all of like the side characters and their little setups for, I guess, what will be the next couple of weeks. The only real note I have here is that when it comes to making costumes, Chester ain't Cisco.
That is very true. However, when it comes to taking costumes off, heyo, Cecile's out of town.
Hey, maybe that's why he made it so terrible.
That's exactly why. It was all a ploy. He just wanted to make her happy, and he knew what would make her happy was taking that awful costume off when Cecile's out of town.
I was like, I want to get this off immediately. And Chester's like,
he's like, so do all I.
Right.
Giggity, giggity. All right. Dear Diary, jackpot.
Worked like a charm. Oh, man. Yeah. And any thoughts on the whole side character stuff?
Yeah. I mean, Chester had a perfectly functional device to conceal her identity one episode ago, and it was just crushed. And I guess he can never make it again because of whatever reason. So that was kind of dumb. Keown just magically getting powers after kissing Mark, like that. Maybe I'm just not paying attention as much when Keown's on the screen, but like that just seemed to come right out of the blue for me. Like, oh, all of a sudden she can turn into mist and like go under a door, a little frost cloud or something, and just teleport sort of. And, you know, okay, that's neat. I guess she's just getting these powers from somewhere. No one knows where. And they just are happening now because she's not metahuman. She's not human. She's something else. And so she's got all this. Yeah. And you got 3 episodes to develop her in. So... good luck accomplishing that. I mean, honestly, like I don't want to say I don't want to care. I don't care about these other characters. I'm just way more concerned with the Flash because this is the Flash and this is the last season and these are the last, you know, 4 episodes. And so I don't not care, but I don't care.
that's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And like, you know, Cecile and Joe at their new house. That's cool, I guess. But I want to see Barry and Iris, you know, I want to see Barry and Iris because this is a show about the Flash and they're the two most important people in the Flash.
I agree. I think probably next week will be a lot more, you know, the backup, the B squad, the B team coming together to figure out what's going on with Barry. And how to get him back and whatnot. So yeah, I think that was all out of setup for next week, and hopefully next week will not be terrible, but we will see. I know a lot of y'all are like, the Flash is back, is like going out on a high note, and I'm like, let's hope so. I admire y'all's confidence.
Look, I'm optimistic. You know, the last 2 episodes I think have been great. Are they the best of the series? No. I mean, because, you know, early Flash was incredible. But have they been the best we've seen in a while? Absolutely. And so that's what I'm shooting for right now. I'm not expecting them to get, you know, early Flash level excellence. I would love that. And I would be super thrilled if they did. But what I'm expecting out of the show is for them to go out strong. And I think so far they've been doing that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm with you, man. Let's, you know what? Cynicism, let me just get rid of that right now. Let's go, baby. Yes, the Flash is back. We're hitting the ground running. Run, Barry, run. All the way to the finish line. Hit them hard, hit them high, hit them strong. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome.
See, that's the attitude that you need going into this, and everything will be fine.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be great. All right, all right, yes. All right, that's where we're at. Where are y'all at? Let us know. Head over to tvtalk.fm. Follow us twitter.com/TV Talk FM. Use the hashtag Flash TV Talk. Let us know your thoughts. Am I wrong on my crazy time travel shenanigans getting it all worked out? Or am I finally spot on after so many years? I don't know. Let me know. That is going to do it for us for today. Follow Bell, by the way. Ring that bell. That's his Twitter handle.
Yeah, it's true.
Got to follow that. That's going to do it for us for today. But until next time. We'll be back in a flash.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.